I'm an addict. My name's Sue Ellen. And I say I'm an addict before I say my name to remind myself that I'm not unique. So just to put it out there, my clean date is August 14th, 2009. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor, and we all work the steps. I'm currently on the 12th step, and I think that's all I have to say about that. So, I highlighted some stuff in my basic text. It's the fourth edition, so it may not read exactly as your newer ones. But the first thing I wanted to start with, this is my first time doing this. I'm really nervous. But I've been praying a lot, and, you know, I've got my higher power, and I've got people that I know who are here supporting me and that I love. So I just wanted to say this about that. In the beginning of the chapter, it says that wordless language of recognition, belief, and faith, which we call empathy, created the atmosphere in which we could feel time, touch reality, and recognize spiritual values long lost to many of us. And that's how I feel about my relationships with people in the program. So I'll start with my story a little bit. And I started using, well, first of all, when I was, as early as I can remember, I knew I was different. I was the most willful, selfish child, and too smart for my own good. And so I knew, you know, I knew I was different, and I always felt different from everybody else. The other kids, you know, I wasn't ugly or stupid or anything, but the other kids made fun of me anyway, you know, and I just felt so isolated. And so I started using when I was 11. And I was trying to fit in with the older kids, with the ones who were skipping school, and, you know, I felt better when I was doing stuff like that, you know. And there's certain parts of my story I don't normally share, but since I have time to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it now. When I came in August of 2009, my first sponsor, she had me like write out sort of my history so she could get me know me better. So I love spreadsheets. So I made this whole spreadsheet, what happened, when it happened, and all this other stuff. And then she sends it back and she says, okay, now I want you to write down how you were responsible. You know, what was your part? And the hardest one for me to grasp was when I was 12 years old, I was hanging out with this 24-year-old guy, and I skipped elementary school, and we went drinking. I shouldn't have said that. We were using, and so he, that day, he forcibly took my virginity, and that was a hard thing for me to get my mind around, but the truth is, if my priority in life had not been using, I would not have been in that situation. You know, I recognized the fact that I was a child, and that made me a little less culpable, but, you know, I had a part in it all the same. So I continued using, you know, all those years. By the time I was 15, I was using like 6 times a day. I was hardly going to school at all, and it was pretty unmanageable. And that's when I was first introduced to Narcotics Anonymous. It was 1985. And I never really put any clean time together, but that's when I got to know this program, and it stuck in me. It stuck in me for good, and it served me many years later. But then, you know, I wasn't staying clean, so my parents put me in treatment for the first time, and I promptly got kicked out of there. And I went back to using, and stuff really started to go downhill when I was 16. I got together with this guy, and we were both pretty hardcore addicts, and you know, we were off to the races. And by the time I was 17, I was using, oh my gosh, I was using a lot. By the time I was 17, I was running away from home, I was stealing cars, using constantly. And eventually, the way I end up was I was prostituting myself for drugs when I was 17 years old. And I was very sick, and I was lost a lot of weight. You know, that's the stuff that happens. And my parents put me in rehab again. And they put me in a very long-term treatment facility that was focused solely on adolescents. And our group in treatment was about this big, a little bit bigger sometimes, almost 300 kids. And unfortunately, while it was purported to be recovery-based, it was really a form of institutional child abuse. We were kept there against our will. If we left the program, we were brought back by force, by police. If you tried to run, when we were in group, people would stand by the doors so you couldn't run, and they would tackle you. And if you misbehaved, they would restrain you on the floor, and they had other teenagers restraining each other with no training whatsoever. But the truth of the matter is, when I was put in there, I was tired. I really wanted to get clean. You know, like I said, I had been experienced with NA, and I knew I could get help. And, you know, it was 12-step based, so I learned a lot about the 12 steps. I worked a lot about the 12 steps. In fact, every day we had to do a 10th step in writing. So, you know, I got a lot of practice with that, and the bottom line is that I stayed clean while I was there. But as soon as I was legally able, at the age of 18, I signed myself out. And the first thing I did when I signed myself out is I bummed a quarter, I caught a bus, straight to an NA meeting with a year clean. And that was pretty surreal. So I picked up, I shared, and I picked up a one-year chip. You know, at the time they were poker chips, so we called them chips. So that's what started my first bout of recovery, was that. And, you know, I got really involved. I did all the things that they say we should do. You know, I got involved. I got a sponsor. I worked steps. I was of service, you know, all those things. Of course, went to meetings regularly. And so I put together 4.5 years. And it was great. I had 2 children during that time. The first child, I was 18, and I only had a year clean. And I actually decided to give that child up for adoption, and that was very difficult. But still to this day, I do not regret my decision. It was the right thing for him. So I did that, and then I met somebody, and we got married, and we had a child together. And when my child was a year old and I was 21, I relapsed. What I had stopped doing, all of those things that I had done in the beginning that got me clean in the first place. You know, I stopped working the steps and going, you know, I went to little meetings and everything. And it was funny how my attitude just gradually changed. And eventually it was like, oh, I got this, you know. Immediately, that denial kicked in. And I was vehement about the fact that I was not an addict and I could handle this using and everything else. And the next couple of years were pretty rough. You know, I didn't have my son with me, and my marriage ended in an instant when I used, because I used and I cheated, you know, and he found out, and that was it, you know. So, and I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything to contribute, you know, in the raising of my son, so I wasn't living there, and that was hard being away from him. The next couple of years were pretty rough, and when I was 22, I was diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, and my father had just moved. He was, you know, my mom and dad were local. My father just had to move to Texas. He got transferred there, and my mother volunteered in the Peace Corps, and she went to Africa, and I was all alone. I didn't have my NA network. I barely had the support of the guy I was living with, and, you know, my parents were gone, and I was never felt so alone, but, you know, I kept using, and I didn't do anything to change my situation except go to the doctor. And I still have that disease now, but it's chronic, and it's treatable. I had a thyroid condition, and it was to the point that I almost was hospitalized, and when I first saw my doctor for that, she gave me some heart pills because my heart was racing. And I was taking some astronomical amount of heart pills, and my heart was still racing at 120 on all that medication. I mean, I was really sick. But now I just take thyroid medication. My thyroid doesn't really function much, and it's all totally manageable, so I'm grateful about that. But, you know, being faced with that and having my physical condition change so quickly, I was grieving for my old, you know, the health that I had, no matter what I did to destroy it. And I was an athlete before, you know, and now I'm just not capable of those things anymore. I have actually other medical conditions as one of the things that I've been dealing with in my recovery recently, and I'll talk about, you know, how I've been walking through that a little bit later. Anyway, so, you know, I kept using for a while, and I met my first love. I wasn't really in love with my husband. I met my first love, and he drank himself to death. And the people around me, you know, even at the age of 25, people around me were dying. And after that happened, I wanted to change my life. You know, I never considered getting clean because, of course, I thought, oh, I'm not an addict. I got this, you know. And so in 1996, I joined the fire department. I became an EMT. And other than, you know, besides the fact that I was still using, those were some of the best years of my life. I knew right away that's what I was meant to do. 19 years later, I'm still an EMT. I work in an emergency room. And it's just awesome. And the time that I was out there, this is one of the times where my higher power really looked out for me. For 10 years, I was a paramedic. And, you know, I dispensed controlled substances. And I had the key that would open the drug box to any ambulance in the entire county. I had access. And it's only by the grace of my higher power that I did not steal drugs from my patients. You know, I don't know how that happened. That's the only explanation I've got, you know. When I worked the second step, like the first, the most important word to me, and it was just one word in that second step, and that's evidence. And that's one of the evidentiary things that came to me when I was working the second step back in 2010. Anyway, so that happened. During that time, I got married again, and my second love. And it was a really good marriage, but I was still using. And by 2006, 2007, I was using all the time. I wouldn't leave the house except to walk my dogs. I'd go days without leaving the house at all. And, you know, I was in a pretty bad way. I was using so much that my body actually lost the urge to eat. I had no appetite. It didn't have any alarm bells going, you need to eat. And I lost 80 pounds in the end there. And, you know, I was driving while I was high. I was taking a lot of drugs, you know. And I have to say, I don't talk about specifics because I do think it distorts the message. But, you know, basically, if it was liquid, solid, or gas, I used it, you know. It didn't matter to me. It was all good, you know, and even drugs, I was like, oh, I don't really like that. I would use it anyway, you know, if I had nothing else, you know. So in the end, it looked a lot like that. And I just was like that for a couple years. I was just completely checked out. 2008, I lost my job in the emergency room. They basically asked me to leave because I was insubordinate and I was at, absent all the time. And I was really, I was just a very unpleasant person to work with. I was just, oh man, I was a pain in the ass. You know, I can't believe, they let me go, but they did me a favor and they asked me to resign. They didn't fire me. And that comes into play later on in my story. But at the same time, there was some political shit going on in the fire department. And I just, in full addict righteous indignation, I sent this awful letter, scathing letter to the entire membership of the fire department and said that I was ashamed to be a member of that group. And, you know, I still regret that every day. That meant so much to me being in the department. And, you know, I was just so distorted. I, you know, my thinking was, yeah, distorted, right? So that happened, and then that became the beginning of the end for me. What happened was I started getting institutionalized all the time in psychiatric institutions where, you know, they wouldn't let me out. And I was in and out, in and out, in and out all the time. And up till the end, you know, it kept happening. About a month before I got clean, I finally got to where I was hopeless enough, and I tried to attempt suicide. And I failed. Another higher power thing, I have no there's no medical reason why I should be standing here breathing, talking. None. Being in the medical profession, I planned it out. I took an astronomical amount of drugs. Enough, you know, half of what I took would have killed anybody. How that happened, I don't know. But I tell you, I'm really grateful that it didn't, you know. And, you know, that's where we do recover comes in. It's like, it's that hope. It's that evidence and that faith, you know, and the participation in our own recovery. And for me, you know, that was the beginning. In the next 2 weeks that followed, I decided I was moving to San Francisco. Try the geographic, you know. And just on a whim, and I left my husband, and so my marriage blew up in a heartbeat. And I went out there, and I had romanticized the whole thing. You know, it's like, oh, the drug culture's so permissive there, and I'm gonna be able to do what I want. And my plan was to get on SSRI because of my disability, so that I could have a prescription and, you know, all that shit. In truth, what happened was I went out there and I was living in the Tenderloin District in an SRO. SRO is a single room occupancy, which is basically like it's a room. You share the bathroom with everybody, and it's disgusting. And everybody in there is using, and, you know, just shady. You know what I mean? I was living a shady life. I was walking around the Tenderloin only during the day. You do not go out there at night. With my switchblade and, you know, open-air drug market, and it was crazy, man. Well, what happened? This is the end. What happened was the person I was with turned out to be an abuser. Like, the first day I was living with him, he put me in the hospital. It ended up right before I left. There was a moment when we had each other by the throat, and I had the opportunity to kill him, and I couldn't do it. Maybe because I'm a medical person, but I really think that, again, was my higher power, and it saved me prison, you know, God knows what else. And so finally I got away from him, and I flew back home. But when I got away enough that I could make a phone call, I called my husband, and I told him I wanted to come home, and if he could help me and what was happening. And the first thing he said to me was, "Will you go to treatment?" And in that moment, that was my moment of clarity. In that moment, I knew that was what I needed to do. And I said yes immediately. I didn't think about it. It was just like, it's almost like my higher power was opening my mouth for me, you know. And so he was actually unwilling to help me financially to get home. But he put those words in my head, you know, and I thank him very much for that. My mother ended up rescuing me, and I went back to stay with her. I ended up having to go into the psych unit again to detox and get my crazy, right? When I got out, I went like right from the hospital to a meeting, you know, and that's how it went. I was going to a meeting every day, and there were a few people that I met back in the 80s when I was clean the first time, and lo and behold, some of them were still around, and they were still clean. And that was a lot of hope for me. You know, we do recover, you know. And then I highlighted this one passage that says, recovery begins with surrender. And that's what I did. I surrendered, you know. I surrendered to this program. And it was unbelievable, you know, unbelievably. It was a turning point, you know, for lack of a better word. I know it sounds a little trite, but it was a turning point. And so I got involved, I got a sponsor, I started working the steps, I became of service when I had about 60 days, and I moved in with some people in recovery. And one of those people died a couple of years ago, but he died clean. And now that's what I'm experiencing. It's not just those of us who relapse or those of us who never got clean. It's the people who are clean, who die clean. You know, that's hope right there. You know, we're all gonna die, you know? We're all going to die. And, you know, I want to die. I want to die clean, you know. One of the people that was around, I have to show this. One of the people that was around in the beginning, this is her hat. And this was a big thing in the 80s, NA Rocks. And she died clean with, I think it was 27 years clean. And God, I loved her. Anyway, she was such a strong force in my recovery both times. Both times I was clean. Anyway, so, you know, that's about people dying clean. But a couple other things I got. We get relief through the 12 steps, which are essential to the recovery process because they are a new spiritual way of life that allows us to participate in our own recovery. And that's what I found the 12 steps to be for me. I have changed so much. I have worked so hard. I have walked through so many feelings, you know, and man, I can't say it enough. You know, this is a 12-step program. It is about the steps, you know, and I believe in the statement that an addict, I can't remember exactly how it said, but basically if you don't change, you're going to use, you know. So I said further on in this chapter, very short chapter, there is no model of the recovering addict. When the drugs go and the addict works the program, wonderful things happen. Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. Our willingness to grow spiritually keeps us buoyant. When we take the actions indicated in the steps, the results are a change in our personality. It is our actions that are important. We leave the results to our higher power. And I do that, you know, that's ever since I worked the second step, that was my spiritual awakening. That was my coming to believe, and it was very powerful for me. And, you know, nothing could have happened. I couldn't have made it here without my higher power, and I can't stay here without my higher power. But there's situations, you know, where I just give it up, you know what I mean? I like my little short version of third step, fuck it. You know what I mean? Fuck it. But at the end of my home group, we say the third step prayer. And actually, it's funny. At my home group, our group is based on the NA way of sharing, being a part of the solution, not the problem. And we actually read only two readings. And one of them is a big passage from We Do Recover. So we believe very strongly in that. But what's happened in my recovery? I got divorced, and I went bankrupt at the same time as I was in early recovery with a withdrawal period of 6 months. And I only had to go to the psychiatric hospital one more time. When I had 5 months clean, I went for 6 weeks. And I've never had to go back because I worked on myself and because I have this program. Oh, I'm at the end already? Oh my God, I'm sorry I took so long about my using. Well, you know, my recovery is, I do the things that we're supposed to do. I think of it in algebra program. You know, you plug in those things, work the steps, go to meetings, do service, have a sponsor. You know, all the pray, all those things, and it works for me. And I got to the point where I got my job back in the emergency room. They let me come back. I've been there almost 3 years. Last weekend I went to my sister's wedding. She actually wanted me there. And my whole family was so happy to see me, and my granddaughters were around me. I mean, it was one of the best weekends of my life. And I'm so happy today. I'm so happy. I have problems, but I can walk through them, whatever they are. My health problems, I'm walking through it. And I'm applying the principles to that, such as, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to stay healthy, you know. And I'm just incredibly blessed. And I'm so happy to be here, and I was so nervous, but, you know, thank you all for being welcoming to me. And I just want to close with the passage that says, we experience real love and real friendship, and that has been my experience. And thank you so much for letting me share.